You're a good sport.
Nice.
What the hell?
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. I have a couple of different groups that I'd like to introduce before we begin the official proceedings. I'd like to introduce the 58 visiting college and high school students from Portland's sister city of Ulsan, the Republic of Korea. Could you folks stand, please?
Yeah.
Hi. Gosh, that one guy even has a political wave down. That's good. But they're participating in a one-month summer study program hosted by Portland State University, and they're studying English and American culture at PSU and staying with host families. And last year, I had the pleasure of meeting Mayor Park of Ulsan during the Rose Festival. So we're happy to have you here this morning, and welcome to City Council. City Council will come to order. Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 1033, request of Olivia Johnson to address Council regarding address issues faced by the homeless.
Good morning. Welcome to City Council. Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
I'm Olivia Johnson. In simple terms, I support people. I spoke a month ago primarily on the implementation of a green zone, a legal campsite located in the city center. Commissioner Nick Fish kindly agreed to meet to specifically discuss the idea of a green zone. This meeting turned out to be purely introductions and small talk. Nick, I appreciate your interest in seeing the creation of a green zone within the next year, yet I strongly disagree with this time frame. We're looking for an immediate solution. People need a place to sleep tonight. As many of you know, things are only getting worse. We're facing an economic crisis. There have already been 3,943 foreclosures in Portland this year. According to the data firm Reality Track, foreclosure filings are up nationally by 100% in this year. With these astounding and terrifying rates, we are experiencing what the capitalists call the housing trickle-down effect. Homeowners are entering the rental world, forcing rental prices to skyrocket, causing long-term renters to lose their homes. We are experiencing a nationwide emergency, in many ways similar to that of a natural disaster. We must respond with emergency solutions. Cities such as LA, Seattle, and Olympia have responded to the immediate problem with immediate solutions. Tent cities are popping up everywhere, both on private and public land. You may be thinking, oh, we have a tent city, Dignity Village, yet we do not. Dignity Village consists of semi-permanent dwellings, long-term residents, and addition has reached its maximum capacity. Although I support the creation of tent cities, I envision a green zone as a more effective and more immediate-term solution. It would require simple policy change, allowing for a public green space to be converted into a legal campsite between the hours of 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. It requires extremely basic infrastructure, porta-potties and dumpsters. Security and cleanup crews could be run by the inhabitants, and a simple set of expectations established. No drugs or alcohol, no violence, and no one under the age of 18. A green zone is an immediate solution brought to you by the community. In the meantime, the community is and will continue to come up with creative and realistic solutions. To offer a few examples, camp opportunity, creating a set of citywide camping guidelines, a rotating cycle of church camping lots, opening shelter space in vacant city, county, and federal property and buildings, opening shelter space in community center basements, as well as efficiently using the basement right here in City Hall. It is obvious that the community is working extremely hard to come up with feasible, immediate, medium, and long-term solutions. Some of them are already being implemented presently through the true power, the power of the people. Others, unfortunately, require you gentlemen to use your excessive power, and may I suggest you do so in a timely fashion. Now, I must admit, I hate even trying to work within the system I so strongly disagree with. If I do not start seeing emergency responses to this emergency situation, I will have to fight even harder against the power that unjustly enforces the legal laws used to hold down the lower classes. So seriously, get your acts together, gentlemen, and let's make something happen.
Call the next.
Item 1034, request of Patrick Lamson Hall to address council regarding homelessness.
Thank you for being here this morning. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
I'm Patrick Lamson Hall from the Portland Coalition Against Poverty. It came to our attention 3 weeks ago that law enforcement agencies were systematically abusing the poor and houseless. Rumor had it that this was being done to cleanse the city for the Waterfront Blues Festival. We heard reports from our houseless members that the Portland Police Bureau and Clean and Safe were sweeping camps without posting notice, and that the sweeps were being conducted in a violent and illegal manner. We heard that in one instance, someone was awakened by being kicked in the face, and in another instance, under the Morrison Bridge, citizens were given 2 minutes to collect their possessions. Any possessions not collected were thrown in dumpsters. We were prepared to accept these reports after working with Wesley Flowers, the gentleman whose camp was thrown away by park rangers a few weeks back. It was clear that a community response was required, but we do not act rashly. Portland Coalition Against Poverty set out to independently confirm it all. We visited some meal services and tried to track down folks who'd been swept. There was no shortage. The lady who was kicked in the face by the cops spoke to us at great length about her life on the streets. Apparently, this kind of thing happens fairly regularly. We recorded those conversations and encouraged folks to file charges against the enforcement agencies or contact us so we could file charges. We got no replies. Since the City Hall protest, word has been circulating that houseless people who speak up for their rights will be targeted. I credit that for why no charges have been filed. The houseless have no access to resources and no political pull, so it's almost impossible for them to stand up for their rights. Portland Coalition Against Poverty defines power as the ability to enact change. We were sick of looking back and watching the police take the power of the people, so we stood up and acted. So many people in the houseless community don't know their rights. So for our first step, we printed up flyers and walked them around, telling folks what the police could and couldn't do. Secondly, we organized a demonstration, a mass popular response to abuses. The message was simple. The people of this city will not sit idly by while the poor and houseless are under attack. The third step, we held a forum, a public discussion between the housed and the houseless, the stakeholders in this system of ours, to try and hammer out solutions to the problems they both face. If the people can unite and solve their problems without the help of the government, then the people have the ability to enact change. The people have the power. But that is not the whole story. People might realize their power and use it, but we'll still have to contend with the police. For every step we take, they make us take 2 steps back. They threaten us, beat us, and target anyone who shows strength. They attack our community power. Your efforts in the service of the community are appreciated. You all do good work. But the police force, as they are today, are more of a threat to your good work than an asset. How many potholes could you fill with the proceeds from one police lawsuit? How many after-school programs? How many shelter beds could you buy? Yet we continue to throw money away so the police can have a free hand to do their version of good work. The city council should unite with the citizens and tell the police, loud and clear, hands off the poor.
Mr. Hall, if I may, I just want to say I'm grateful to you and to Ms. Johnson for accepting my invitation to meet last week. I actually thought it was more than chit-chat. I thought we got to some of the heart of the issues, and I'm pleased that Sally Erickson could join us, who's the homeless coordinator for the city. I'm also pleased that you are both invited to participate in some discussions that she's having on green zones and other alternatives. And I want you to know, as the housing commissioner, I take seriously your point of view, and I would encourage you to participate in that process so we can get your input.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please read the next.
1035, request of Jennifer Peterson to address council regarding saving Peterson's store from eviction.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Jennifer Peterson. Dear City Council, I am here today to address the City Council regarding saving Peterson's on Morrison from being evicted. I am currently an HR professional at a manufacturing company in Wilsonville, Oregon. I have been in the HR field for almost 10 years now. I currently and have in the past encountered on a daily basis every type of individual, whether it be the blue-collar worker to the CEO of the company. I assist them in benefits questions, with their compensation, performance reviews, training, promotions within the company, corrective actions, and above it all, I am there to give customer service because they are my customers. I've had formal HR training at Portland State University and through Boley classes and SHRM seminars, but you know where I achieve my people skills? working at my father's stores. You can't teach people skills in school. I learned how to give customer service to every type of person walking through one of those stores. And for some reason, you have the perception that that bad element are the customers, but that is just not the case. We give customer service to CEOs, PSU students, Western Culinary Institute students, which happen to have their school in the Galleria right across the street from the Morrison store, tourists, celebrities, government officials, business travelers, lawyers, professors, physicians, residents that live downtown, construction workers working on the MAX line, Governor Hotel employees, Nordstrom employees and their customers, and business travelers. They're such a diverse customer base. You might wonder what they are buying. Well, magazines, soda pop, candy bars, sandwiches, fruit, lottery tickets, gum, newspapers, chips, and perhaps it's that concierge getting cold medicine for their business traveler at 11 o'clock at night. The list is endless. Now, who are my dad's employees? They are students looking for part-time work. Maybe this is a second job. People that need flexible schedules due to health issues. Maybe it's a family member or a family friend looking for their first job. They may be a handful of about six employees that have worked for my dad for several years. In fact, two of the managers at the stores have worked for my dad a combination of over 32 years. No, not everyone stays there forever, but they go on to becoming managers at Finnegan's, working at Union Bank of California, being a child therapist, mortgage broker, and an HR professional. My dad has always seen the future of downtown Portland for small business, even when the MAX line was under construction back in the mid-'80s. In front of the store, he knew that Morrison's store would become a landmark in the downtown community and was able to open two more stores. I'm asking that you do not evict my dad and his employees from the Morrison location. We want to be part of the redevelopment plans the city has for parking structure. My dad is willing to invest his own money to help with the redevelopment, just like he did with the 4th Avenue store. He invested over $50,000 of his own money. And he's willing to do that with the Morrison store. With the economy the way it is today and the job openings scarce, please do not let nine employees lose their jobs. Like I said before, a lot of them have this job as a second income, and this will affect them financially, and they will have to file for unemployment, which in turn affects Oregon and unemployment ratings. Please reconsider this eviction. It will have a ripple effect in the downtown Portland economy.
Please read the next.
Item 1036, request of Robert Faith to address council regarding Peterson's store.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Robert Faith. I work at Peterson Stores, and I want to ask a question of any of you. If by a swipe of a pen, half your income was taken away, how would you feel? I think the politics is the art of compromise, and you've heard that Doug has invested money into one of his stores. If you've come down to 4th Street store, in fact, I challenge you to do that. Talk to our customers, the employees. Find out what we're about. We are a convenience store, and the numbers aren't great. You know, they're not earth-shattering or shaking, but the percentages are scary. 30% of those employees are going to be let go. A community service is going to disappear. You know, the entire block will have empty storefronts. There'll be less information given to tourists. You know, you were talking about people getting medicine at 11 o'clock at night. You know, please come down and take a look at it. Talk to the employees, talk to the customers, and really, it's not. Don't just rely on a memo from a business, you know, unless you've seen it yourself, you won't really understand what we're doing. It's not the grand job that's going to change the world, but we do provide a service, a good service to a community that I live in. I live on Morrison Street on the 1000 block. I've lived here for 10 years. I've owned my own business. I've been 10 years in the Air Force. I've been a manager of a hotel. I've had jobs, just as I said, a part-time job just to supplement my income. I was almost retired. I enjoy working there. I've always worked with customers and people in the guest service industry. I think that we need to reach out to each other. Businesses and government should work together to grow and change. If there's policies that we need to change, we will, because we want to be part of the community now and in the future. Ending it just doesn't solve anything. It doesn't even change the problem. If you think this bad, you know, we're causing the problem in the area, I can assure you we're not, and you could find that out for yourselves if you come down, take a look, ask around. It's a complicated issue. But I want more thought put into it. I want to reach out, talk to each other about compromise. We can change policies, lighting, security. We could remodel the store if it's even an eyesore. But that would take a commitment from both our parts to the future of this area. He is willing to invest money. He's done it before when he reached a long-term lease with a prior business owner. The community is behind us. We've had thousands of signatures. Listen to them. This is not just, one small business is part of a community where the not the heart and soul of it, but so many people pass through there. you know, no, this is not just a small thing. You know, I'll lose my job. I can get another one, but I don't like one. I want to keep this job. I like knowing my neighbors. I like meeting the new people that I do. I like helping tourists find a restaurant or help them with the Max information. I've given so much information about Max, I feel like I should get a commission from TriMet, for crying out loud. Can you take the time to look at this a little closer before we make an irrevocable decision that will just harm the community and cause more problems than we can imagine right now? And that's, reach out to us. We'll reach back. We can work together. I mean that. Thank you. More signatures.
Please give them to the council clerk. Thank you. Could you read the next name?
1037, request of Michael R. Vandeveer to address council regarding Peterson's store eviction.
Thank you for being here. Please state your name when you speak. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Michael R. Vandeveer. I'm manager of Peterson's on 4th Avenue. I've been with Peterson's nearly 16 years. I found Mr. Peterson to be a very kind and but demanding employer. He requires that we do our job and to follow rules. These rules are very important to a business as ours. As you'll note in your portfolio that I handed you, that these are three certificates given to the three different Peterson stores by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. This was done in the past month. That says that we do training for our employees, and we comply with all the rules of selling alcohol products to people who are sober, not intoxicated, and no minors are sold to alcohol in our stores. I'd like to also to bring up a safety issue with regards to the Peterson store on Morrison. You'll see two photographs there preceding those certificates from the OLCC that shows what the frontage of the store will look like if the store is turned off, all the lighting is turned off. There's a 14-foot overhang for the TriMet line, and when you wait for the TriMet line at night, there's always light because Peterson's is open. The shoe store, which was closed recently and moved down to 4th and Morrison, occupied the east side from us, and also on the west side was a luggage store. They have shuttered, and unfortunately, it's a very dark and unsafe place at night. People do sit down in front of those locations, and we do our best to go out there and monitor who's out there and make sure that they're moving along as best we can. There are six individuals who have responsibility on that platform, and unfortunately, we are the only ones being looked at with regard to scrutiny. The other five are the City of Portland, who own the building. Then there is the Busch Gardens at the other end, TriMet, and then two entities that I think have a very direct effect on the city itself, and those are the two empty storefronts. Now, I think to add more security to that area, if the city was willing to invest a little money, maybe $15, $20 a month, they could turn the lights on in those businesses and leave them on 24/7 or put them on a timer. That would add more security to the area. And it would also help Peterson's to maintain a secure area also. Another part of the security issue is the number of calls that's been reported that Peterson's has regarding what they call for. Just this last year, there were two phone calls from Peterson employees because of two heart attacks on the light rail line. And there was also a stabbing that occurred up on 10th Avenue from a gentleman who came from the clubs on Stark and 10th. He stumbled into our store about 2 a.m. because he had a knife wound. My question is this: if you're going to condemn us for calling the police, where's the humanity in all of this? Also, as you notice, there's another article from the Oregonian regarding bankruptcies. This is a successful business, and it does employ people, and I think it would be good to keep those people employed. I'd like to name nine names: Robert, Richard, Fran, Wesley, Selena, Stanley, Marvin, Daniel, and John Michael. These are individuals who will lose their job. This is a tax base that I think the city cannot afford to lose, either from the employer or from the people that live here and work there. Thank you.
Is that it? We'll move to the consent agenda. Does any commissioner wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any specific item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. There are no time certains this week. We're going to be moving to the regular agenda. Please read item 1057.
Adopt and implement the North Interstate Corridor Plan and amend comprehensive plan and citywide design guidelines.
Second reading, call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1058.
Authorize a settlement agreement and release with Ariston Consulting and Technologies, Inc. for consultant services for the Enterprise Business Systems Project.
Mr. Ken Rust.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the Council. For the record, I'm Ken Rust, the Director of the Office of Management and Finance. The agreement that's before you this morning, subject to your approval, would provide for the payment of $1.6 million to Ariston, of which $910,000 is retainage. Retainage is money withheld from previously made payments to Ariston for work performed and accepted by the city. The remaining $700,000 represents the resolution of all remaining matters, including Ariston's claim for an additional payment of $3.2 million for other work performed. It is my recommendation that the city accept this settlement based on several different factors. One, although we believe that there are some issues with the work that Ariston has performed and we have some issues about this particular claim, if we are not able to resolve that through settlement, we will proceed to litigation. Litigation will take time and will take money for us to prosecute, and even if we prevail, it's not certain what we would receive from Ariston, which is a relatively small firm. But more importantly, we're in a very critical point in time with this particular project, which we have been talking with you about in the past. We know the challenges that we faced. And if we have to take key people from the project and divert them into a litigation effort, I think we seriously jeopardize the time schedule. Time on this project is money. Every month we slip costs the city at least $1.2 million. We do think that we have reached a reasonable agreement for the claims that we have been discussing with Ariston. The project budget did anticipate the potential for a settlement claim, and there is no impact on the budget based on this settlement amount. For those reasons, and for the largest reason, frankly, which is the effort that city employers are expending on this project and the strain that litigation would place on those employees, as their director, I don't feel it would be responsible for me to subject them to that at this point in time. So for all of those reasons, I believe this is the right thing for us to do to settle this matter and move forward with this critical project.
Questions from the commissioners?
How are we doing on meeting the revised timeline?
We are still scheduled now to have an implementation in November. Yeah, I can tell you that it is a very complicated project. There's a lot of work ahead of us. We are committed to implementation of the finance portion of the project in November. At this point in time, that's our objective, and that's what we're driving to, and we fully expect at this point that that's the schedule we're going to adhere to.
Any other deviations from the revised timeline we should know about at this point? Everything else on track?
At this point in time, that's the time schedule. We've had a lot of work with the consultants and our project team over the course of the last couple weeks. There are things that have come up in this project that have surprised us. There's more work. The consultants have a plan for dealing with that to keep us on time. All I can say is that this is a very complicated project. It's not going to be easy, but we have a team that's totally committed to making this successful with a go-live of finance in November.
And then after that, do we have specific dates for the rollout of the other components?
The next piece of the project was the implementation of the go-live of the what we call the human capital management, which includes payroll. The time schedule currently is in April. I don't know whether that there's any change to that at this point in time. We've really been focused on the finance pieces at this point, although we are working on the HCM pieces as well.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Ken. Is there a sign-up sheet for this?
There was, and we did not have anyone sign up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? It's an emergency. Please call a vote.
Adams?
I think that I'm going to support this, but I think we need to remain very vigilant on this project to make sure that it stays on track on the revised timeline. But I think that supporting this settlement is less risky to the city, less expensive than pursuing litigation. So I'm going to vote aye.
Fish?
First, Ken, thanks for the time you took to brief me on this and bring me up to speed. I used to do a lot of mediation work. A good mediation is obviously a settlement where both sides are unhappy. And I think as I've looked at this, I think both sides have reason to be unhappy. The city that they're paying one more penny to this organization, and Ariston because they're getting essentially pennies on the dollar of what they claimed. I'm persuaded that this is a good deal in part because if we were to go to litigation and it were to push back even by 1 month our timeline for bringing the new system online, the cost would swamp whatever the recovery was in this action. So I'm prepared to support the recommended settlement. Aye.
Leonard.
I think it's important to remember that Ken inherited this project, and he inherited it in a certain state that I think his leadership has helped correct. And I have a lot of faith that Ken is watching this and is overseeing it in the proper manner and is doing exactly the kinds of things that arguably should have been done at the inception of this project that were not done, and that he's going to deliver to us a good system. And I appreciate the work that you put into this, protecting our interests. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Well, Ken and I have had our discussion about this. It sticks in my craw, but I think anything else is going to only potentially increase the monetary liability for the city. So I think you folks have done a good job on this, Ken. Thank you. I vote aye. Please read item 1059.
Pay claim of Huang Trong.
Good morning. I'm John Bueller with the Office of Risk Management. This claim involves a case of clear liability for a relatively minor auto accident where our driver hit a parked Mercedes. Risk Management has previously reimbursed the vehicle's owner's insurance company for a cost to repair the car. Unfortunately, there had been frame damage to the Mercedes, and the owner made claim against the city, alleging that despite the repair work that had been done, the value of the car had been reduced as a result of the accident. Through an independent appraiser, we determined that the vehicle had lost value from the accident, and the proposed settlement will resolve that diminished value claim and also a claim for loss of use of the car during the repair period.
Questions? Thank you. Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Okay. It's emergency. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Thank you.
Please read item 1060.
Accept bid of Bernhardt Industries, Inc. for the Lentz Park Improvements Project for $755,000.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, member of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer. I'm the director of the Bureau of Purchases, and before you is a recommendation to award a construction contract to Bernhardt Industries in the amount of $755,000 for the Lentz Park Improvement Project. And to highlight a couple of notable facts related to the solicitation that we did, Bernhardt Industries has indicated they have 38% minority women emerging small business participation of the subcontracting dollars. So I think that's a good percentage that they've reflected their good faith efforts on. They are in full compliance with our equal benefits requirements. And I'll stop there and recommend awarding the contract.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you, Jeff. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? It's a report. I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1061.
Authorize application to the Metro Nature and Neighborhoods Grants Program for a $150,000 for restoration projects in Westmoreland Park.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the council, this is an application for a $150,000 grant from the Metro Nature in the Neighborhoods program to restore Crystal Springs Creek banks in Westmoreland Park.
Questions from the commissioners? Did anyone testify on this matter?
No, they did not.
Anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? It's an emergency. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We're adjourned until next week. Randy, you got a minute?
I'm sorry?
You got a minute?
Yes, sir.